when is needed. One of my favorite stories is the story of the judge Gideon, and he was fighting the Midianites with the children of Israel, Judges chapter 7. And God said, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take these 300 soldiers, and you're going to go up against the host of 180,000 Midianites.
They surround the camp, and they have pictures you may recall with candles, with trumpets. And here is the crux of that battle in verse 21 of Judges chapter 7. And they, every man, stood in his place around the camp, and all the host ran, cried, and fled.
Every man stood in his place. That was the key to that victory that God gave them on that occasion. A poem writing in regards to the Battle of Bosworth, when King Richard lost in August of 1485 and lost his vast and rich kingdom. The poem says this:
for want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost.
For want of the horse, the rider was lost. For the want of a rider, the message was lost. For want of the message, the battle was lost. For want of a battle won, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe. You see, the smallest things sometimes add up to monumental, consequential things. And so it is with each and every one of us who are members of the body of Jesus Christ. And so here's the point. What I'd like to do here is to catalog some places that you are needed when it comes to the work of this congregation. First of all, where would we begin? I want you to understand that you are needed when it comes to Bible study. Matter of fact, you can't even spell the word without you. In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 5, and verse 1, Moses, there speaking to the children of Israel, said, I call upon you, Israel, to hear these statutes and judgments that I speak to you this day, that you might learn them, keep them, and do them. The word of God must be heard, it must be learned, and it must be obeyed. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire to sincere milk of the word, that they might grow thereby. Matthew 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matter of fact, Paul would exhort a young man, Timothy, until I come, give attention unto reading. Reading what? Reading the word of God. Isaiah said in Isaiah 34, verse 16, find the book of the Lord and read it. It is important that each and every one of us as members of this body feed upon the word of God and know it. God's people used to be known for their Bible knowledge. As a matter of fact, I've told you this before, that many times if there wasn't a Bible in the courtroom, they would just find a member of the Church of Christ, put their hand on it, to make their swearing in.
Because they knew so much about it, you see. And we need to be back that way. We need to be people of the book. You go down to the gas station attendant down here at the end, you know anything about those members of the Church of Christ? Well, I don't know a whole lot.
One thing I do know, they know their Bible. You see, there's some places you were needed. Hosea said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. One of the places you were needed is you were needed in Bible study. But you're also needed when it comes to unity. Matter of fact, you can't even recognize it without you. I heard the story one time. One lane bridge.
What are we going to do? One said.
They got to thinking about it. One guy said, well,
I know what we'll do. I'll lay down and you can walk over me. And then we can both go our own way.
Would you do that? Do you have that type of attitude that we might be united
and live at
peace here at the Clarksville Church of Christ? Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 3, endeavoring
to keep the unity of the Spirit
in the bond of peace. Peace breeds unity. Peace breeds division. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in
unity. Psalm 133:1.
Jesus, as he would pray, one of the last prayers that we have recorded for us in the book of John, chapter 17, verse 20, said, "Neither do I pray for these alone, but for those who will believe upon me through their word, that they all might be one."
Jesus
Christ wished
unity among his people. And 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10,
the Apostle Paul there would exhort that good church that to be of the same mind and the same judgment, that there be no divisions among them.
It's amazing
what things, when they're united. I just here recently told some of you this. I was planning a trip to Chicago. And the sun was shining here, but Ronnie, up in Chicago, the snow was coming down. And it had come down for about an hour there. And I began to look on the internet and try to make a decision. Am I going to fly to Chicago? Well, I decided not to, Ellen. Which wasn't a hard one, because I don't like to fly. But I surely would like to fly in the snow. But you think about snow for a second. Have you ever had a snowflake fall in your hand? Heavy, yeah, you don't even feel it. As a matter of fact, it doesn't last. It lands and it melts away. But listen, you get hundreds and thousands of snowflakes united. You know what they do, Kay? They shut Chicago down because of unity. And I want you to understand, you are needed when it comes to being united here at this good work, but also in supporting this good work. In the book of Hebrews 10, verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke
unto love and good works."
Supporting that work, not
forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the habit of some is, but rather exhorting one another as the day approaching.
You are needed. You are needed when it comes to the supporting of our Bible study, supporting of our worship services. You are missed when you're not here, because you are important. We just had a few moments ago, lean by in store. We're commanded to do that in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1. "As I've given church orders to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first
day of the week, let every one of you
lay by in stores." God has prospered. You are needed in supporting financially the work. You are important because this congregation has been so loving and has been so generous over the past several years and months. There's a many things, very exciting things that this work has been able to do
and to begin to plan to do at the Lord's will.
And you are needed when it comes to supporting that good work. When it comes to anything that this good work needs, you are needed. I remember one time I heard the story of a congregation kind of together in what
many times the brother called
a business meeting. And someone was to exclaim after you heard all the problems and the things that was lacking around there. And someone exclaimed, "Won't somebody do something?" And then someone got up and began to walk out. And they said, "Well, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to go take care of that because I just realized somebody." You're needed. You're needed to
step up and take responsibility for the things
that might be lacking, whether it's spiritual or physical, in this good congregation. Back when the angels around the throne of God were saying, "Who shall we send?" Isaiah said in Isaiah 6 and verse 8, "Here am I. Send me. I'm one.
I can do it. I can have responsibility
of taking care of that." And what I want you to understand is that you are needed. Comes to building up. You ever notice that? You are needed. In Ephesians 4 and verse 16,
"For whom the whole body fitly joined together,
impacted that by which every joint supplies,
according to the effectual working, the measure of every part makes increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love."
You are needed.
Every part is needed when it comes to building up,
encouraging
the work here.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. We teach one another. We admonish one another through our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. You ready? When it comes to singing, for teaching and admonishing, for building up one another. Paul said in Colossians 4, in verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you ought to answer every man. You go and visit somebody. Oh, you look terrible. You got what? Oh, my aunt died of that. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edify. You know, back when I was younger, when I remember starting out at Greenwood, Indiana, and we would go downtown Indianapolis and we'd be working on the construction buildings. We did a lot of remodeling back then. A lot of tower work was being built in Indianapolis back in the 1980s when I was growing up there, Alan. But I want you to understand that a lot of remodeling was being done. And there were two crews that would come in to that job site to work on it. One crew, Matt, came in and tore things down. And then there was another crew that came in and built things up. Which crew are you on? Let me tell you what. The crews that built things up had a whole lot nicer. Because you see, anybody can tear things down. You don't have to have any skill at all, Ronnie, to tear things down, do you? But to build things up. One of my favorite poems says, I have no voice for singing, and I cannot make a speech. I have no gift for music. I know I cannot teach. I am no good at leading. I cannot organize, and anything I write about it, but never won a prize. But at roll call at meetings, I always answer. When others are leading, I lend a listening ear. After service is over, I praise its every part. My words are not to flatter, I mean it from the heart. It seems my only talent is neither big nor rare, just to listen and encourage and to fill a vacant chair. But all the gifted people could not so brightly shine were it not for those who use a talent such as mine. You to doing your duty, your moral and legal obligation and responsibility, your task or action that you are required to perform. Someone says duty. I didn't know we had any duty in the church. Like you do. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You are needed to do your part in fulfilling the commandments of God. Jesus said in Luke 17 and verse 10, likewise ye, when you have done all the things which you were commanded, you say this, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Your duty to do. To him that knoweth, we have a duty to do the work. We have duty to live righteous lives. And that work, ladies and gentlemen, is a work, but it is not a work that demands payment. It is your duty as a child of God. And what I want you to understand is that you were to do your duty. And finally, we see this. You were needed. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. You see, the church is the saved body that Jesus purchased, that he found into it. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. The Lord adds you to that saved body, and you are needed to be a part of that. If I'm talking to somebody here this morning, I'm not obedient to the gospel. I want you to understand, you're needed. You're needed to come out of that kingdom of darkness and to be translated into the kingdom of his dear son, Colossians 1 and verse 13. You're needed to be baptized into that body, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 again.
In the book of Acts, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus, upon this rock I will build my church. That rock being that foundation, and I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Verse 53 and verse 15,
and you are needed. Everybody here, if you've obeyed the gospel, you were needed in this church. And you are needed to make it even better
than it
is right now. Because members are.
So if the church is friendly, it's because the members
are friendly.
If the church is cold, it's because
the members are cold. If the church seems lackadaisical or unenthusiastic or uninterested, it is because the members are that way. And you are needed to make this church be what the Lord would have it to be, what you have it to be. Says
I to myself as I grumble and
growl. I'm sick
of my church,
and then how I scowl.
The members unfriendly, service is too long. In fact, it seems
everything's wrong. I don't like the preaching. Nodding her head. You know, sometimes you're making a point.
People nod their head.
I don't like the preaching. The singing's a disgrace. The signs of neglect is all over the place.
I quit going there
and won't give a dime.
I can better make better use of my money and time. Then my conscience says to me,
the trouble with you is you're too blind to
see
that
your church reflects you,
whatever it be. And you
should not say they. It ought to be we. So come and pray and serve cheerfully.
Stop all your fault-finding and boost it up strong. You'll soon be happy and
proud of belong. So come and work harder and sin anew. Your church can be better.
But it must start with you. You are needed when it comes to the church. You are needed in Bible study and in unity. You are needed to support this work and build up this work. You are needed when it comes to doing your duty. And you are needed in the church. Every man stood in his place, and the host fled, ran, cried. All the things we can do, if we find our place, get in it, work in it, and be satisfied with it, and bring the honor and glory to God.
You listened well this morning. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand to sing a song
of invitation to encourage you. May the
one of our audience is not obedient to the word. Go into the word. Preach the good news.
He that believes
in it is baptized, shall be saved. You can do that here this morning. We extend the Lord's invitation to you.
Sing this song to encourage you. Serve us up to him in any way. Come forward now. We stand as we sing.
There's a great day coming in your grace.